If you have your Bibles tonight, Numbers chapter 21, please. Numbers 21. Numbers 21. I want to speak to you tonight in the time that we have together on victory through God. Victory through God. I, like Pastor Skiver, I love baseball and football. I will not give you my opinion on soccer and basketball because I don't want to make anybody mad, amen? But I love baseball and football, and I love those two sports. I grew up playing them, grew up watching them. Wasn't that good, but had a great time. But I tell you what, my dad and mom instilled something in me that when you play to win.
Yes.
And, I mean... whoever said lose kindly, amen, was a loser. Can I say that? Amen. I don't go for hitting people and stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking, losing is a hard thing. And I remember my dad, I got to see a glimpse of him right before he turned as old as he is now. Amen. Glory to God. And before he became decrepit, amen, and all and everything. And I got to see a glimpse at 44 years old. I remember playing on a softball team with my dad when he was 44, and of course I was a lot younger. And he was 44 years old, and I can take you to a spot. Pastor Skipper, I'd never seen a man hit a softball as far as my dad never was that big of a guy. And I said, oh my goodness, I'll never mess with him again, amen. I could take you down to Tappan School, down there in the softball field where he's at, and he hit that ball. The first one he hit was so far, but the guy was really fast and caught it, and I was just in awe. Dad came back around, and it was an out, and I said, Dad, I didn't know you could. You're not lying. You really can't hit it that far, amen? And he said, yeah, it's just a long out, and he sat down, and he was mad because he made an out. That made an impression on me. Next ball he hit was so far, nobody got it. Went so far back, and it's like it instilled something in my heart that there's more than just playing the game. There's more than just making long outs. There's more than just going 99 yards and getting tackled at the one-yard line. There's the touchdown to be scored. There's a home run to be hit. And my dad and mom instilled something in me as a child that there's more to life than just playing the game. I want to win. I want to win everything that I do. I want to do the best that I can for Him. The closer I get to God, and I'm not saying tonight that I am close, but the closer that I get to God, the more the things of this world grow strangely dim. Hey, there are all of us who had 401ks, amen. All those, that's gone, amen. I mean, prepare for retirement. Don't be foolish. But let's not trust in the things of this world, because when we trust in the things of this world, we're going to be hurt. We're going to be disappointed. And I want the victory through God. I want to lay up treasures in heaven. And tonight, let's just take a brief time that we have together, and let's see in Numbers 21 how we can get victory through God. Let's pray. Dear Father, help me to be a blessing tonight. Thank you for this good summer crowd, Father. And Lord, I'm just asking you to bless as only you can. Oh, Lord, work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, see so many people that I served all 21 years here with. I see people, that family members and new people that I'm learning to know. God, help me not to waste your time. Lord, be with my church back home as Brother Rob's preaching tonight, Father. And Lord, help them to have a good service there also. Lord, I'm asking you to help Jim well, Father, with that surgery. And Lord, I'm just asking you to work a miracle where we wouldn't even have to have it, Father. Lord, you know that we'll give you the glory in whatever you do, Jesus. Lord, help us. In thy name we pray. Amen. Look at Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Hey, if you're looking at the way through life, you're not going to have victory. All of us, boy, I have a tough time with cold-hearted people. Somebody bears their heart with a burden. Somebody bears their heart with an issue, and somebody says, well, I've been there, done that. I've been through that. That's not, let me tell you what I've been through. Hey, that is cold-hearted, Christians. The way of life is very hard for each one of us. And none of us knows what's going on behind a set of eyes. None of us knows what's going on in one of these young people's lives here tonight. Some of these young people's lives could be on the rocks, and they could come to you looking for help, bearing their burden, and you could say, well, wait a minute, you haven't been through nothing yet. Wait till you've lived 80 years. Wait till you live 70, 60, 50, 40 years. Hey, the problem to them might be a mountain. Might look like a molehill to you. Well, where's the compassion at in Christianity? Where's the victory at through God? You're never going to get victory through God by squashing others down when they reach to you for help. Now, Edom is the descendants of Esau. You see, Moses himself was dealing with a lot at this point. His heart was heavy. On Mount Hor, Aaron had died. The people had murmured. A lot of things, bad things had already happened to Moses here where he is at this point. But he is still looking for victory to God. Hey, all of you guys who are preachers in here, glory to God. In the midnight hours, you're not going to get victory by looking at yourself in the mirror. You're not going to get victory by turning on old Jostein, amen? You're going to get victory by getting down on your knees, getting into the book, and asking God to help you do what you can't do and what I can't do, by the way. You see, tonight, victory comes at a high cost. My family has been through a lot since we've been there. It's been a high price to go there. But the victory is won, Pastor Skyver, for every soul that's saved. There's things that I can't mention that's happened to us. And I'm not saying it might not be nothing to you. But there's been things that happened to us that just rips our hearts out. I'm sure a lot of things has happened to him in the ministry also. 10 times worse. I'm not looking for sympathy tonight. All I'm saying is when those midnight hours come, when those dark hours come, you watch as we progress through this story here. Where God Almighty tells these people to look. Hey, you're not going to get help from Rush Limbaugh. Amen. Yeah. You're not going to get help from the television. You're not going to get help from the record courier. You're going to get help from the Almighty God tonight. Yeah. What are you living for in your Christian life tonight? What are you living for? Who are you living for? Who are you living for tonight?
Yeah.
Everything on this side of earth stinks. Yeah. Bobby, it all stinks. And I come in here and I get my memory refreshed. From a man and a woman who wouldn't let their son play ball on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Right.
Glory to God for that. Amen. Glory to God for somebody that'll stand.
Yeah.
You see, I still get excited over a sunrise.
Yeah.
I still get excited over a sunset. Because
yep.
My God, my Creator made that, and by the way, yours did also.
Yeah.
I still get excited over a bird singing. I still get excited over the creation that God made. He was over at that hospital there where Mel and his dad had knee replacement surgery, St. Thomas by the Y Bridge in Akron. Glory to God, he was on the 8th floor. I don't think that's a coincidence because God knows how much I love his scenery. And I'd walk down to the end of that hallway, preacher, and I'd look out there over Akron, and I'd say, oh, God. Oh, God, I can remember the days when Dallas Billington ran 10,000 in Sunday school. Oh, God, who's going to reach Akron for Christ? Oh, God, can't you raise up some preachers? And I look out over the beautiful trees that God made. Amen. I went downstairs and, you want room when, if you want some room and there's no seats, just get out your King James Bible. Amen. They just clear out. Amen. It's better than having body odor. Amen. I sat down in front of the hospital there. God knows. I believe God does these things on purpose. I've never seen a lizard in Ohio running loose. Never have. Lived here all my life. But right across the pavement, a lizard ran across the pavement, right in front of me. That little thing, I said, Mike, that is awesome. So I get out my camera phone, and I go to take a picture of it, and he's running. And here I'm almost running out into Main Street in Akron trying to get a picture of that little thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, what's the deal with that? Because God knows that I appreciate what he's made.
Yeah.
He said, you want victory? Stop looking at the circumstances and start looking at the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, I know many of you are hurting in here. I know. But these people started looking at the way and they got discouraged. Look at verse 5. And the people spake against God. Ooh, watch that. Watch your tongue when you're angry. Watch that tongue when you're angry. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Watch, by the way, speaking against the man of God.
Yes.
You got a problem with Pastor Skiver? Give it to God. You know what, preacher? God wiped it. I've studied this out. God's wiped more people out in the More Testament from murmuring than everything else, than anything else. You got a you got a problem with him, you got a problem with God.
Yep.
I'm not saying to lift him up. I'm not saying to build statues to him. Although that would be pretty neat, wouldn't it? Amen. I'm not saying to build statues to him. We're not Catholics, amen. If you're Catholic, we love you, but you know, we're not to do those things. We're to love the man of God.
Right.
There's times, oh boy, I know there's times I served with him for 15 years. He'll drive you crazy. I had hair when he came here, amen, glory to God. I had hair. I had brown hair when I left here. It's turned gray now, amen. Open door did that part, amen. I'm telling you tonight, don't murmur against God or the man of God.
Amen.
Because God wanted to wipe them out as many times in the Old Testament for running their mouths. He ticks you off, give it to God. If he ticks you off real bad, be a man and go to him in person.
Amen.
Or be a lady and go to him and his wife in person.
Yes.
Oh, I tell you what, I heard somebody start to chew Pastor Skiver out years ago to Mrs. Skiver. And boy, she ripped him a new one, preacher. Amen. He said, hey, man. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He's not above making mistakes. I know that. He makes several a day. Amen. He keeps white out in his pockets. He makes so many mistakes. Amen. But he is the man of God. Amen. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? See, here they're looking back. Boy, this is the thing. I love freedom. I like being able to get into my Crown Vic, put the key in the ignition, and start it. And if I choose to do so, I could drive as far as I wanted to anywhere in this country. I like that kind of freedom. There, I like the freedom of being saved, Brother Dave. I like knowing for sure I'm going to heaven. There's no way I want to go back to Egypt. There's no way I want to go back to the world. That's why I'm against bringing worldly music into the church. That's why I'm against bringing worldliness into the church. I believe in letting people grow by grace. I believe in being patient, but I also believe on what goes up on this platform that man is responsible for. I believe. Tonight, that it will matter in heaven. I don't want to go back to the world. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Whiny wieners is what we call them. Amen. Hey, God delivered you in a mighty way. He parted the Red Sea. Look at all what God's done for you. And you're whining. I've done the same thing. All of us have. Not above that. But isn't it amazing God's patient for us? You see, God's provision, what they're telling God here is that his provision's not good enough. Thank God for that light bread, that man. Boy, that's a study all in itself. We don't have time for that tonight. But oh man, what a study. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Fiery serpents. These fiery serpents, from what I've studied on, they cause great thirst and a great fever. Boy, the murmurs, the people that's just striking out against God, the carnality of these folks. And, you know, it's impossible for a saved person to go to hell. But it is very possible for a saved person to live a miserable life when you start looking at the things of this world. You got two choices. You're going to either be content, like the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy 6:6, be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're not happy with what you have now, you're not going to be happy with what you get. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. John D. Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire, they was asking him, how much more money do you need to make, Mr. Rockefeller? He said, just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more and I'll be happy. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And see, that's where the devil gets us at. Nothing wrong with having nice things. Nothing wrong with having a beautiful house, a car, or whatever God blesses you with. But don't set your sights and affections on those things. Set your sights and affections on the things of God. Amen. See, we live in one of two worlds, Christians. We live in either contentment or covetousness. Let's seek souls tonight, Christians. Boy, what if in heaven, I'm not saying this is the way it's going to be, but what if in heaven there's a line in front of you for every soul that you've led to Christ? What if there's a line in front of you for every soul that came to Christ because you put money tithe into the offering plates? Boy, America's going to be, the way I read these scriptures, Pastor Skyver, America's going to be judged very hard for the lack of diligence of putting the money in the plate. We had the truth and we have the finance. The poorest Americans is richer than 90% of the world. And we say, we can't afford it. You can't afford not to. God's going to get his money one way or the other. My wife and I, we were struggling. Pastor Skyver came here in 1990. In 1991, we made a decision. Before 1990, this is embarrassing to say, but this might help some of you. Before 1991, my wife and I would tithe when we could afford it. We would give 1 week, we might miss one or two, and then we'd give another, miss a couple weeks. 1991, we made a decision, and by the way, the first 5 years of our marriage, it wasn't 2 weeks that went by that I can remember where a car didn't break down or something happened. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity, but I'm preaching God will take care of you. 1991, got under conviction, got right with God, started tithing regularly. Glory to God! It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done for us financially in our lives. Now, I'm not preaching giving to get, but I'm preaching giving so obedience is obedience always obligates God, folks. Obedience will obligate God to take care of you no matter what. You might not have everything you want, but I guarantee you will have everything that you need. You don't have to worry when you lay your head down at night either about robbing God. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. It caused thirst and fever among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You see, tonight, many people are dying because they're looking. Many Christians, I'm mainly addressing Christians here tonight. Many Christians are dying because they're not looking to God for the answers. They're looking to the world for answers. Right. Hey, glory to God. Doctors are fine. Doctors are good. But Jim, well, before you go to the doctor, spend a lot of time in prayer asking God to heal you before you go. Go to the doctor. Thank God we have this kind of knowledge in America. Right. But don't be like King Asa, who didn't seek God out, who had a disease in his feet, and he sought the physicians and didn't turn to God, and he ended up dying because he didn't call upon God. Yeah. You'll say, well, you against doctors? Of course not. Luke was a physician. I'd be stupid to be against doctors. But man, where are we looking at tonight? Where are we looking at? Where's our faith at tonight? In a guy with a PhD or in the Almighty God? Yeah. And by the way, God's the one that gave the man the brains to have the PhD. Yeah. Amen. Which stands for posthole digger most of the time. Amen. Glory to God. Look at verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. You see, the judgment in verse 6 brings repentance. Now, it is wrong. It is very wrong for any of us to judge when somebody is getting judged themselves. When I had my head surgery, when I had spinal meningitis, it was the roughest thing. It was one of the hardest, probably the top five hardest things in my life that I did to walk in those doors of that church with that big scar on my head. And somebody walked up to me, and they're no longer here, but they walked up to me, as good as church as this is, preacher, and said, what did you do to tick God off to get that scar on your head? Yes. Amen. Amen. And I was so sick. I think I started to swing, and my wife blocked my hand, and she's, amen, yeah, amen. That'd have been ugly, wouldn't it, amen? One of your deacons, I was a deacon at the time, dicking somebody out there, amen. But I was so, I'm not saying I was right, but all I'm saying is, where are we looking at tonight? Where are we looking at tonight? You see, when I went through that sickness, And so, you know, and God was just breaking me to pastor Open Door Baptist Church.
Right.
He broke my heart to pastor that church. And people was coming up to me and saying, well, what did you do to tick God off? That hurt, Brother Dave.
Yes, sir.
That hurt. But you know what that taught me? Not to lean on people,
right,
but to lean on God.
Amen.
Because people will let you down all
right.
the time.
Yep.
People, he won't mean to, but he'll let you down.
Right.
He'll let you down. You call him and you'll expect him to answer the phone, and he says you'll need something, and he'll be busy doing something else, and you'll get all ticked off. But God answers the phone every time you call him.
That's right.
Hey, go to the preacher. I'm not saying that. He's there to help you. But don't put your expectations on a man. Put your expectations on God Almighty.
Amen.
Therefore, the people came to Moses. Verse 7 said, we have sinned. Repentance. You see, judgment causes repentance. Affliction brings these folks to prayer. For we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. If God's ever going to use you, if God's ever going to do anything great with your life, he's going to have to break our foolish pride. You know the story, most of you. I'm not going to tell it all, but as I laid out that, I had a pride issue. I wasn't that big. I'm 5'4". I was a lot thinner growing up, but, man, I had a pride issue. You either learn to have pride or get your nose beat in all the time, and I didn't like that. But I had a pride issue. I had a chip on my shoulder. About that third day out in intensive care, God broke my heart. I said, God, I if you want to keep letting me live, I surrender. Give me my heart. Now, it took about 7 more years, and 7 more years on top of that. I still haven't arrived. But I know who butters my bread tonight. Glory to God! I know who my Savior liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And though the skin worms devour my body, I shall see him in the flesh someday. Just as Job said, hey, glory to God, we are on the winning side. Sometimes the afflictions come in our life to drive us to prayer and to repentance. This is what happened to the children of Israel at this point. God says, I want to give you the victory. I want you to win, child of God. I want you to win. I want you to depend on me and not the world and the things of the world. Child of God, he wants us to depend on him. And sometimes that's why judgment comes. See, repentance and prayer is a whole lot better than just doing what we want. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh on it, shall live. Oh, glory to God. In verse 4, they look and find discouragement. But God says, hey, a better way here is to look and to live. Look and live. Just a picture of Jesus Christ. A picture of Christ and sin. How Christ, you know, we was all bitten with the sin bug before salvation.
Right.
We set our eyes upon Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, my, we set our eyes upon Christ. And sometimes I've been past the place where I walked the aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior almost 40 years ago, several times this week. The church doesn't even stand there anymore. It's a car lot there between Kent and Ravenna. And I passed there, and it's like, praise God. I could take you to the very spot in that car lot where I walked that aisle and bowed down and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, I was bitten with a sin bug before that. And tonight, if you don't know Christ as Savior, if you're in here, if you've never put your faith and trust into him, don't leave here tonight without Christ. He died and was buried and rose again just for you, just as he did me. Trust him as your Savior. Look and live. But Christians, if you are saved, we're in the bottom of the ninth inning. It's the fourth quarter. We're past the two-minute warning. I don't know about you folks, but time has accelerated. It seemed to really accelerate here lately. I mean, really bad. And the craziness of this world. I was reading a paper where this man punched his poodle in the head and killed it. I'm not for punching and killing dogs, but you know what? He could spend a year in jail for that, but you can go ahead and have an abortion, and that's fine. If you're in here tonight and you've had an abortion, God loves you. And that baby's in heaven. But I preach on Not because I want to hurt people, but because I want the people not to have them anymore.
Yeah.
Because it scars the ladies, scars people.
Yeah.
Our country's crazy. Whew, we was in the hospital and they had the TV on and that little punk singer, Justin Bieber, whatever his name is. And I know, preacher, you're a big fan of his. I'm sorry, amen. I'm looking at him, and that's the kind of kid we shoved in the lockers when I was at school, amen. And it's like, what is, this kid's a nerd, amen. And he's trying to, and I'm not being racist, but he's white, and he's trying to act like he's black. Then he's trying to act Hispanic, and it's like, what is this? And people are going nuts over it. And he's a millionaire already, and he's not even 20, I don't think. Oh, tonight, folks, our country has gone crazy. People are dying and going to hell, and they're having fellowships. People are dying and going to hell, and there's coffee shops and Starbucks in the foyers. People are dying and going to hell, and nobody's going soul winning. People are dying and going to hell, and they're having music concerts on the stage. Nothing wrong with that, but let's go soul winning first.
Yeah.
See you tonight. Our country's turned upside down. People want victory through doing social causes in the church. I'm all for helping people that's in need. But boy, a missions trip's not going and putting a roof on somebody's house.
You're right.
A missions trip's not going and putting cabinets in.
Yeah.
A missions trip's going and knocking on a door and telling about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May Bethel Baptist Church never go to social causes over spiritual causes.
Amen.
May Open Door Baptist Church never do that either. You see, tonight, I'm telling you, it matters, it matters, it matters, victory through God. Look at verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I serve a risen Savior. He's in my heart today. I know that He is with me. Whatever man may say, glory to God, there's a bunch of nuts in Portage County, but we're saved, glory to God.
Amen.
I like it over in Lima a lot better. You would too, preacher. It's a lot more conservative over there.
A
Coopy Hamburgers, Lee's Chicken, hallelujah. Glory to God. You should love the area you're called to, by the way, also.
Yes, sir.
See you tonight. He lives. He lives. Our Savior lives.
Yeah.
We can have victory through Him. Just as God told Moses to make that serpent of brass, and when you was bit, to look up. It's a picture of Christ hanging on the cross. And by the way, He's still not on the cross. He came off of that. Up from the grave He arose. Amen. It's a picture of Christ hanging on the cross. Now, brass is a very interesting element. It's an alloy of copper and zinc. It's very hard and workable, but workable. You see, our hearts are hard before salvation.
Yeah.
But once we get to get saved, we have to have a workable heart.
Yeah.
An alloy, listen to this. Brass is an alloy. It's a mixing of a metal, a valuable metal, with one that is less valuable. What a picture of Christ right down to the metal. Because our salvation is a mixing of us, who is not very valuable, with the Savior, who is all-powerful, all-valuable. You see, tonight, He died for us. He died for us. Our victory's not in our wallet. Our victory's not in our bank account. Our victory's not in our homes or our jobs. Our victory's not even in anything but Jesus Christ tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight, folks, get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes out of the newspaper, off the television. Get them in the Bible tonight. He's coming soon. Have you ever read the book of Malachi? Have you ever read the book of Jude? Could you find the book of Lamentations? Amen. I preached a message out of the book of Amos, and I told the people, you have 5 minutes to find the book of Amos. After that, you need to leave. Amen. See, tonight, God loves each one of us. Oh, victory through God. What a victory He wants to give us. You see, the main job of a pastor, I found this out, preacher, and I'm so sure you already know this, is to factor God back into the equation. So many people, you think of that. All the preaching, all the soul winning we do, all the works that we do, everything we do. And by the way, bus worker, that's your job. by the way, Sunday school teacher, by the way, evangelist, by the way, missionary, by the way, usher, by the way, deacon, our main job is to factor God back into the equation for people. Because people get their eyes off of that serpent of brass. People get their eyes off of that Savior. They get them down here in the world and they're looking around at all the issues and problems. No wonder we're a society that's all torn up. The most richest society, the society in the world that's blessed the most, but we have the most mental problems. We have the most problems in this country that any country in the world that they say that has any more problems. There's none that has as many as America does. Mental problems. And the mind's an organ. It can go bad just like your heart or anything else. And I'm not getting on people for that. But I'm saying, for every trip you make to the doctor for a mental issue, spend 5 hours a day in the Bible. And see what that does for you. Oh, you still might need help. It can go bad just like your heart or something else. You still might need help, but it's going to help you a lot more than anything a doctor can do for you. You see, tonight, God loves you. The victory comes through God. It doesn't come through anything else. The everlasting victory. Oh, don't you just love to win? Yeah. My nephew Brian and Megan, I'm so happy for them, seeing them in church, just getting married. Boy, it's good. Brian and I love this story. Back in the 60s, the Green Bay Packers had already won 3 world championships. They already won 3. The offense was running out in the field for, glory to God, the Ice Bowl. Amen. About 57 below zero actual temperature. Hey, glory to God. Amen. 57 below actual. And one of the running backs, Dan Reeves, who coached the Broncos, was getting ready to run out into the field as a running back in those days. And Ray Nitschke had a haircut like mine. He only had a couple teeth, though. He grabbed hold of Dan Reeves' shoulder and spun him around. And said, "Don't let me down." Ray Nitschke already had 2 championship rings on his finger. You see, folks, you've won a lot of battles here at Bethel Baptist Church. Yes, you've stuck around. You didn't listen to all the stupidity. You've stuck with your preacher. Go ahead and stick a little bit longer. Yes. Go for that third ring, David. Brother Dave, I'm sorry. Brother Dave, go for that third ring. Ed, you've been here longer than dirt. Stick around, amen. Amen. You've been here longer than dirt. Go ahead and stick around a few more years. Yeah. Bobby Shaw, you and your family, just go ahead and stay here a while. Yeah. And by the way, the rest of you, God is assembling something here for him to do. And if people go out that door, it's a revolving door. Hey, it's good to see new folks here. It's good to see a great spirit here. But work hard to keep it.
Amen.
Don't let him down. I love that story. If they can do that for a football game, surely we can do it for the Savior.
Yes.
Where's your eyes? Really, really, really. Don't let yourself off the hook tonight. Don't be applying this message to Brother Greer, because you'll be applying this message for the next 4 weeks to his bad life. No, just kidding. Amen. You'll be applying this message to his life. Don't apply this message to somebody else. Apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. Really, really, really. I mean, really. What are you doing with your life? What are you going to tell God at Judgment Day? What are you going to say when God asks you? Have you read through my book, if he does ask such a question? Really. How many people have you given out gospel tracts to? You say, "I can't do that. I'm too scared." Well, get a phone book. Spend $1 a week on 2 stamps and mail a gospel tract to somebody. Everybody can tell somebody. Leave them in the bathroom stall when you leave. Do something, do something, do something. He did so much for us. Really. Let's look at that one more time. Verse 9, we'll close. And Moses made a serpent of brass, an alloy of copper and zinc. One metal a lot more precious than the other, just like our Savior is more precious than us, but he gave his life for us. And put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So many Christians, Pastor Skyver, it breaks my heart. Probably cry more tears over this than anything. Breaks my heart. How many Christians settle for something less than what God has for us? Everybody wants to be the top dog. I don't even know what that is. I haven't figured out pastoring yet. I just show up and preach and do what I think's right and hope something turns out. I haven't figured it out yet. By the way, if he was honest, I know, and he is, he'd tell you, I haven't figured everything out yet either. Don't let the devil trick you. None of us has figured it all out. But he lived. There's a difference. You get that? He lived. Don't miss those little things in the Bible. Well, look at my dear brother Mike Sells over here and all that he's been through. So good to see you sitting in a church than sitting at home, Mike Pouton, because yes, God let you down. No, he's got the right kind of attitude. God gave me this so I can help others. You see, tonight, he lived. When he set his eyes upon that serpent of brass, he lived. When you set your eyes upon that cross, you live. You either grow, as Jack Hiles used to say, you either growing or you're dying. You're either growing or you're dying. You can't lose your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. But you're either growing or you're dying. So many unhappy Christians for a reason. Because their eyes are down here on people, problems, and things. And up there, where he lives.